This is Real Estate Journeys, episode 109.
Hey, you really want to own the real estate in the whole entire mobile home park. Yeah, that's where the wealth is built, you know, and you're going to get better tax advantages with depreciation. You're going to create forever cash instead of just temporary cash, because once these homes sell off, you know, your cash flow is going to stop. And, you know, you can get leverage, you can get financing on the acquisition. So I just had like this aha moment, and I went home from that meeting with that park owner and literally wrote on my fridge, you know, I want to buy my first mobile home park in 2016.
Welcome to Real Estate Journeys, here to help you build your cash-flowing real estate empire that you've been dreaming of. This is about real estate investors who have escaped the soul-crushing 9-to-5 rat race by taking action, leveraging relationships, and gaining the financial independence. It's time to stop making excuses and get the insight and knowledge you need to become a successful real estate investor. This is your host, Matthew Baltzell.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Matty B, aka Matthew Baltzell. Welcome back to Real Estate Journeys, the exclusive podcast for real estate investors looking to scale to 100 units and live that location independent lifestyle. And guys, today I'm excited because we are going to be learning a lot about knowledge, right? I hope I sounded like Ty Lopez when I said that. Knowledge, knowledge. So today, our guest is Andrew Keel. He has a very interesting story. He's a Florida native. He went to school in South Dakota, but he's actually currently investing in mobile home parks across the United States. And he currently has a portfolio of 20 mobile home communities across 8 states. And I'm excited to jump into this episode and learn a lot about it. So with all that said, Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad you're here. So, you're originally from Florida, is that correct?
That's correct. Yep, the Orlando area.
Okay, and you went to school in South Dakota for a football scholarship, correct?
Correct. Yeah, I went to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Played football at Augustana University. I had a really good time up there. Love that place.
Okay. And so before you got into mobile home parks, were you thinking of real estate investing? Did you have a background in it? Or how did you basically get to the point you're at now with mobile home parks?
Yeah, so it's an interesting story. I started out as a sales rep at a company that sold marketing materials and branding materials to realtors. So I actually traveled to over 150 Keller Williams market centers across the country, basically helping them kind of understand SEO and selling them marketing and branding materials. And through that process, I met a ton of great people, ton of great realtors that were, you know, very successful and also were investing in real estate. So that piqued my interest in real estate investing. Fast forward a couple of years, I left that sales position and went into wholesaling and flipping single family houses around Central Florida. Mm-hmm. I would say I was a small flipper and wholesaler. I flipped probably 4 to 6 houses a year. And then wholesaled probably another 10 to 20 deals a year. Had a decent business, but it was, you know, inconsistent. You know, it was, hey, I had a big month and then a couple months would be dead and then I'd have another big month. So I wanted to kind of, you know, get some cash flow to offset those, you know, big highs. And I wanted to be a landlord, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a lot of cash.
Why'd you want to be a landlord?
You know, it was just like this idea that like, oh man, landlords are rich. They got all the money in the world. You know, it's all this passive income.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to be a landlord. So I went to the lowest, you know, denominator. I went to mobile homes. I actually got a deal through my yellow letter marketing that I was sending out to probate leads. Mm-hmm. And I got a deal on 2 mobile homes in Ocala, Florida, which is like a couple hours north of me in Orlando. And I got these mobile homes. And I didn't know what to do with them, but like, I just knew it was a great deal. It was a motivated seller and I could buy both of these homes that were manufactured in the mid 90s for like $2,200.
Okay.
So I bought the homes, got the titles, and I came back to Orlando and got on YouTube and typed in how to make money with mobile homes. And I came across this awesome dude named Lonnie Scruggs, who wrote a book called Deals on Wheels. Mm-hmm. And it talks about how you can invest in mobile homes. You know, buy a mobile home in a community, fix it up a little bit, and then sell it on contract to an end buyer. So I was just like, you know, going to try it. I was like, this sounds like a great model. You know, the returns are insane. Let's try it. So I fixed these two mobile homes up, literally just cleaned them out. Spent like $300 just cleaning them out, getting, because they were like full of furniture and everything.
Yeah.
And then deep cleaned them, put a little paint on the walls, replaced the carpet in a couple bedrooms, and put them up for sale for $3,000 down and $250 a month for 5 years.
Okay.
And they sold so quickly. I had like 25 people reach out in the first 2 days for that deal. And that like piqued my interest. That was nice. My very first exposure to manufactured housing as a whole. So I was like glued in at that point, and eventually did like 19 of those Lonnie deals. Mm-hmm. And after that, I was like, all right, like what's the next step up the ladder? I spoke to a park owner that actually was like funneling me homes mm-hmm. to do my Lonnie deals with. And he said, you know, hey, you really want to own the real estate in the whole entire mobile home park. Yeah, that's where the wealth is built, you know, and you're going to get better tax advantages with depreciation. You're going to, you know, create forever cash instead of just temporary cash, because once these homes sell off, you know, your cash flow is going to stop. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can get leverage, you can get financing on the acquisition. So I just had like this aha moment, and I went home from that meeting with that park owner and literally wrote on my fridge, you know, I want to buy my first mobile home park in 2016. And from that point on, I started marketing and cold calling to mobile home park owners. I went to all the boot camps. I went to the seminars. I read the books. Every bit of content I could get my hands on, I was glued to. And I started trying to find mobile home parks. Unfortunately, you know, being distracted by the flipping business and, you know, these Lonnie deals that I was doing, I ended up not hitting my goal of buying a mobile home park in 2016. But I was building that funnel, and I was kind of in that, you know, now looking back, that valley of sorrow. It was building up that wave. So I ended up buying my first park in June 2017. I got the deal under contract, didn't have enough money to take it down myself, and a bank wasn't going to loan me the money to take it down, you know, without someone that had a better balance sheet than I did. So I was able to partner with someone I met at the Frank and Dave MHU boot camp. They brought the money, I brought the, you know, the sweat equity. And we bought that first deal in, it was actually in Edwardsville, Illinois. It ended up being a home run deal. We ended up refinancing in under 2 years, paying back all investor capital. And now we still get distributions every quarter off of that deal. And that investor has invested in five total deals with me. And since then, we've brought on other investors, and, you know, we've syndicated several mobile home park deals since then. But yeah, that's my story. It's pretty unique.
Yeah. No, that's definitely interesting. So when you brought the first partner on and you purchased the property, is it called like 100 mobile home lots, or how is that allocated?
Yeah. By the lot number. So that first deal was 67 lots and there was only 58 occupied. So there was a little bit of upside when we took it over. We raised enough money up front to come in and fully occupy the property, you know, fill those vacant lots and increase rents a little bit. Also, we billed back for water on that deal.
Okay.
The tenants were currently provided water, and, you know, all the neighboring parks were billing back for water. So we were able to sub-meter and bill back water, and, you know, that increased the NOI drastically. So the property value ultimately, you know, increased.
And for people that are listening to this, what do you like about this asset class more than fixing and flipping and wholesaling?
Man, I love this business so much. There's 12 reasons on my podcast that I mentioned.
But okay.
The number one reason I would say is because the high rates of return.
Okay.
You know, there's no hiding it. Mobile home parks have one of the highest rates of return out of any form of rental real estate. Number two, the supply is shrinking. So this is very different from any other asset class in the aspect that every single year there's more mobile home parks that are torn down and redeveloped into other land uses than there are being developed. I think there was a statistic by Green Street Advisors that said that 10 mobile home parks per year are being torn down, if not more than that. And over the last decade, there's only been like a handful of mobile home parks that have been developed. Hmm. So you know, there's
why is that?
There's so, a so shrinking.
They don't want to put any more new supply out there, or is it just too much? Or
a few reasons. Number one, you know, mobile home parks are a loss leader in terms of like revenue and expenses for municipalities. Mm. So, you know, the low income tenants, you know, say you have a family of four, you know, two parents and two kids that are in public school, you know, it costs on average $10,000 to $12,000 a year to put a child through public schooling. Well, these mobile homes, you know, pay taxes just like you pay personal property taxes on a boat or, you know, your car
yep.
at the DMV. So the personal property taxes may only be $40 a year. Mm. And, you know, the municipality is covering two children going to public schools. You know, that's over $20,000 a year in expense. So there's that reason. And then there's also this not in my backyard mentality, where, you know, nobody really wants to live right next to a trailer park. Mm-hmm. And this stigma around mobile home parks, that's really artificial,
yeah.
you know, that people kind of associate based off of TV shows like, you know, 8 Mile and mm-hmm. Cops and, mm-hmm. you know, Trailer Park Boys, you know, so people don't want to live next to a trailer park because they think it's going to depreciate their property. So it's very hard to get a municipality to approve a new development. Mm-hmm. And I think it's been said that, you know, like 99% of municipalities are never going to approve another mobile home park development.
Mm. And are mobile home parks more prevalent in certain parts of the states than others?
Yeah, I think South Carolina has like the most trailer parks mm-hmm. in the entire country. But I would say, you know, it's said that there's 44,000 mobile home parks across the country. And, you know, there's different classes, just like in multifamily, there's different classes of mobile home parks. You know, there's the parks that are owned by like the REITs that are in coastal communities like Florida, Arizona, California,
yep.
that are very nice, very high-end communities that have a swimming pool. You know, they have a community room and bingo every Thursday. And, you know, those communities are the grade A communities. They're, yep. they're very high lot rent. And they're very affordable, though, for baby boomers that are retiring and want to live in nice areas. And then there's other, you know, communities that, you know, like in the Midwest, you know, they're very nice subdivision-like communities that people live in. And it's just a great solution for affordable housing. And it's in the Midwest specifically, you know, it's a very common, you know, starter home for mm-hmm. couples that are newlyweds. You know, the stigma isn't as strong as it is in the Southeast, where in the Midwest, you know, people, they get married, that's their first home. They start out in a mobile home, in a mobile home park, they save up their money, and then they can purchase, you know, a home, you know, after they have enough cash saved up. So it just really depends. But yeah, where we focus is primarily in the Midwest.
Okay, for sure. And then so as a real estate investor, what is your investment criteria now? Like, what are you looking for?
Yeah, so I'm looking for mobile home parks that are over 50 lots
okay.
and have some sort of value add component. You know, I like properties that are around 75% occupied so that we can, you know, fill the remaining vacant lots and add some value. Ultimately, you know, gearing up for a refinance where we can pull out the initial capital. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my criteria in the Midwest. And another big thing with mobile home parks is the utility setup. So we go after properties that have public utilities, you know, like city water, city sewer. There's just less expenses and less liability with those type of assets compared to properties that, say, have a well system or a wastewater treatment plant. You know, those are more expensive to maintain.
Mm-hmm. And then what states are you particularly looking in?
Mainly in the Midwest.
Mainly
so
Midwest.
We have properties, yeah, from Minnesota down to Arkansas. We have properties from Nebraska all the way to Pennsylvania.
Okay, cool. And then you said that you've done the syndication model, correct, for that? Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, we've syndicated, you know, I'd say over $10 million mm-hmm. To acquire these assets, you know, based off that same business model where we add value to the properties through increasing the net operating income, whether that's through cutting expenses. One mobile home park we bought in Iowa, the on-site manager was making $60,000 a year, and the property, you know, was the property only had like 80 units. Uh-huh. So you know, we were able to reduce that and hire a new manager. And instantly the property went from being an eight cap to way off the charts, you know,
teens. I'm sure he was pleased about that. Like, oh, you're making 60. We need to reduce expenses. All right. We're bringing someone in for 30. Yeah. Like, all right, you're gone. NOI's
increased. We ultimately had to make a change, you know, with who was the manager, because, you know, they weren't managing it at a high level, but there was some investors prior to us that owned it for, you know, like 30 years out of California. Uh-huh. And, you know, they were just kind of on cruise control.
Now, the ones that you're traditionally looking to purchase and invest in, do they do like a multifamily, like A class, B class, C class kind of stuff like that?
They do.
Okay. Yeah. And then so the ones that you're investing in, are they traditionally like B class, C class? What would you say they are?
I would say C class.
C class. You know,
and then our goal would be to improve them to be like a B minus or a B.
And these communities, I know you said like the coastal communities, Arizona, you know, the Carolinas and whatnot. They traditionally have like a community center or like a pool. The ones that you're investing in, do they have any amenities?
Ours do not, typically. I mean, some of them have like a playground or a basketball court, but typically we don't offer like swimming pools or community centers. A few of our parks have dog parks, you know, which are very minimal in terms of, you know, expense to build and maintain. But we don't offer, you know, the same amenities that the grade A parks do.
For sure. But I mean, that's a good thing because also you have, you know, less upkeep, right? You don't have to be cleaning the pool. You don't have to be doing all this stuff. Very cool. So then if somebody is looking to get into this, and they're obviously the syndication model would only be for accredited investors, correct?
There is a 506B option where you can accept up to 35 non-accredited investors. But typically in our deals, we accept, you know, only accredited investors.
For sure. You know, what would you say to somebody that's thinking about going into mobile home parks? What should they start doing as far as maybe education process, or what should they be looking for in mobile home parks if they wanted to, or would you even recommend purchasing a one or two mobile home parks and doing the Lonnie deals, like you're saying.
Yeah, the Lonnie deal model that I started out with, you know, don't get me wrong, that's an easy way to kind of jump in and and try out if you think this business, you know, is something you're interested in. But I would really recommend somebody to start out with a, you know, maybe a smaller property, 30 to 40 lots, you know, just make sure that it's on public utilities. I would highly recommend you attend some sort of educational training. There's the Mobile Home Park Academy by Kevin Bupp. There's the MHU Boot Camp by Frank Rolfe, you know, something like that to learn more about the business before you, you know, make such a high cost decision. But yeah, the cash flow is great. I mean, there's an extreme shortage of affordable housing, you know, in the country. And I don't know about you, but I don't see that going away anytime soon. You know, it's been said that manufactured housing is the answer to that. Just because, you know, manufactured housing can be built for less than $50 a square foot, where site-built housing across the nation is being built for like over $110 a square foot.
Yeah.
So you're just able to reduce expenses. And then, you know, the main competition for mobile home parks is going to be, you know, your lower grade apartments. And if you still look at those apartments that are, say, C grade, D grade apartments, their rents are still, you know, on average over $1,000 a month. So we're just such an affordable option that, you know, it just makes sense. And the demand is off the charts. The supply is shrinking. And on top of all of that, you know, I started out in real estate. I got a 9-unit apartment complex. That was like I'm not going to lie, it was an old apartment complex. It was like built in the 20s.
And you were the landlord, but right?
I was the landlord. Yeah, buddy. That was like one of the, so I'm like, an OG. Man, I made it.
Yeah, got it. I got it.
I'm an OG. I'm rich. This is going to be it. Yeah. Right. And oh my goodness, I made a job for myself. The property was 45 minutes away from where I lived in Daytona Beach, Florida. And, you know, it was an older property, so things were breaking, you know, doorknobs were squeaky, you know, refrigerators were leaking, you know, you name it. And I was getting the phone calls because I was the property manager. So with mobile home parks, you don't have that problem.
Yeah.
You have units that the tenants own their homes and we're just renting the dirt underneath of them. So I own this 9-unit apartment complex that was fairly close to where I lived. At the same time, I owned the 67-lot mobile home park 5 states away in Edwardsville, Illinois. And it was clear as day to see which one took up most of my time. And that would be the apartment complex that was 45 minutes away from my door. So I ended up selling that and 1031ing into another mobile home park because it's easier to scale that way.
Yeah, for sure. And your phone is probably ringing a lot less with the mobile home park.
Oh, a lot less.
So what's a typical hold? Let's just say for the syndication model, what was a typical hold, like 5 years, 7 years, or what's the strategy there?
Yeah, great question. So typically on the syndication model, we'd offer some sort of pref.
Yep.
And then a split of the equity that's like a 50-50 split. And then the goal would be to refinance within the first 5 years. Mm-hmm. You know, our initial loan usually is fixed for 5 years and then turns into an adjustable rate for another five.
Uh-huh.
So we try to refinance before the 5 years.
Yep.
And then return all capital plus any pref that is owed to the investors.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, we're buy and hold guys. So we don't have a definite sale date.
Uh-huh.
Our goal is to hold these long term. We feel really strongly that these assets are going to appreciate in value.
Uh-huh.
Because they're not making any more of them.
Uh-huh.
And with the cap rate compression that's already begun in the asset class, you know, we can sell, you know, if we get a godfather offer, like Sam Zell says,
yeah,
when the timing's right.
For sure. And then after the 5 years, when you refi, what happens to the LPs? Are you buying out the LPs? Are you guys, or do they still get a pref?
Yeah, so the LPs will still own a percentage of the equity.
Uh-huh.
And they'll get quarterly distributions on that. So they're actually not bought out. They get the infinite return on their capital, you know, holding it long term with us.
For sure. And then what is the pref that you guys usually offer, like 6-8%?
Yep, usually it's 7%.
7%? Okay. Very, mm-hmm. very, 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 very interesting. So have you taken a mobile home park yet full cycle and sold one yet?
We haven't sold any yet. We've purchased, you know, over 20 now. But we have gone through the refinances, you know, on I'd say almost half of the properties.
Mm-hmm.
Rates are so low right now that we're able to really secure some awesome debt options. I mean, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are loaning in the space, so we're able to, you know, really get some decent terms on these things for long-term buy and holds.
For sure. And how's the competition out there? I mean, I know that you're talking about there's a little bit of a stigma. You know, obviously right now people are like, oh, multifamily. Obviously that's been very hot over probably like the past 5 to 6 years. How's the competition as far as, you know, looking for getting new mobile home parks?
Mm-hmm. It's definitely increasing. You know, every day more people are finding out about this alternative investment space and about mobile home parks specifically because of, you know, the multifamily risk and the cap rates that are compressing in that asset class. So people are coming over, but it's still a very highly fragmented asset class. You know, there is, I think 90% of the mobile home parks owned in the country are owned by mom and pop, you know, private owners. Whereas I think I read a statistic that like 93% of multifamily properties over 50 units are owned by professional operators that own more than 5 complexes or more than 5 communities. So, you know, the value add opportunity is more plentiful in the mobile home park space than it is, you know, in the multifamily space where these professional operators are using the most up-to-date technology to add that value and, you know, increase the asset values. So I think there's still a lot of opportunity in the space over the next 5 to 10 years since these mom and pops are typically baby boomers that are slowly selling these assets.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, there's some big players in the space, mm-hmm. you know, like, you know, some of the big hedge funds and private equity have started purchasing in the space. And, you know, the thing about them is that they usually buy properties over 100 units
yep.
that are stabilized. So we found it to be, you know, kind of our sweet spot is 50 to 100 units. You know, we don't compete with those buyers that can just, you know, pay, you know, 4 caps for whatever they want.
Yeah, for sure.
That's been a secret for us.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years from now with your current strategy?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, I hope that we double in size and continue to acquire these properties. You know, once they get stabilized, they're pretty easy to manage. Mm-hmm. We're able to, you know, kind of systematize things and use technology and kind of, you know, yeah, set it on cruise control. I just got back last night from a property in Nebraska that we purchased. You know, the mom and pop that was managing it, everything was handwritten. The rent rolls were handwritten. The P&Ls were handwritten. Every single notice that went out to all 90 units was handwritten. So, you know, we're kind of taking things from the Stone Age and converting it into, you know, a more tech savvy, you know, business. And it's fun.
Yeah. So with that, if we'll say a lot of the, like you said, a lot of the owners are traditionally mom and pops, do you find it harder to do the due diligence if everything's scratched on the napkin? Like they're like, oh, like what was the occupancy like 4 years ago? And they're like, oh, let me see, Dave. Like, go get, there's like coffee stains. Like, is that a 9? No, that's a 6. Like, you're like, okay, is it 86 or is that 56? Like, you know, like what's the trend here? Like, what am I working with if I'm going to go throw like $2 million, $3 million at this property? Like, what does that go down as?
Is that? Oh, 100%. That is something that you need to be aware of going in, is that, you know, they don't keep the best financials. Mm-hmm. And one property that I'm looking at right now, for example, this seller has completely writing off everything. Uh-huh. Personal expenses, he's writing off through this company. So as we take his tax returns and try to show that to a bank to get financing, they're standing there and they're saying, no, this is not going to happen. Look at X, Y, and Z on his P&L. You know, these expenses make it look like he's only making 10 grand a year on this property that's 100 units paying $300 a month. You know, his typical expenses should only be around 30%. Uh-huh. You know, so it's very typical to come across properties like that. And that's where we get creative. You know, mm-hmm, about, I think, 6 of our properties that we own have some sort of seller financing component on, uh-huh, them. Uh-huh. Since these mom and pop owners have owned these properties for so long, they usually have a lot of equity,
yeah,
you know, so they can be more flexible when they're selling, yep, and offer terms and things like that.
And then when you were saying that you guys traditionally purchase in the Midwest under 100 lots, what's the typical purchase price for one of those?
Usually we're buying things around a 9-10 cap, uh-huh, and the typical purchase price is, you know, $1-2 million.
$1-2 million. Okay. And then when you're looking to bring on LPs, what are your allotments? Are those $50,000 or what do you typically allocate for the LPs?
Usually there's a minimum of either 50 or 100,000, just okay, depending on how much we're raising for the specific deal.
Cool. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Like I said, I mean, I told you off air, I'm definitely green in this avenue and I've definitely acquired a lot of knowledge. I know people that are listening to this are probably going to be hitting you up for more information. So I'm glad to have you on. I want to close it out with the 3 closing questions, Andrew. First question is, what is a pain point or weakness you face right now in your business?
Yeah, a pain point I would say would be hiring. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something that we're perfecting every day. We recently started a personality test prior to hiring to, you know, get an insight into how the person will perform in the specific role. So that's something that we're working on currently.
For sure. Second question is, what is your favorite book to regift?
My favorite book, we mentioned it earlier. It's called Deals on Wheels by Lonnie Scruggs. They're not printing it anymore. So if you're trying to find one of these, I do have like 10 of them on my shelf back here.
Yeah.
But if you seriously look up this book on Amazon, the last time I looked, the book was going for like $800.
What?
Because it is just, I'm dead serious. If you go on Amazon and look for this book, they're not printing it anymore, but it's a gem for sure.
Is this like a thick academic book or like what's going on here?
It's not. It's a very skinny book, but Deals on Wheels, man. By Lonnie Scruggs.
Okay.
I re-gifted.
Wait, have you re-gifted? Okay. According to you, if you re-gifted this to me, I get it. I know it's a rare commodity. I'm going to flip this book and I'm going to sell it for like $1,000 and then we could split the profits.
Or you could just say, wow, you know, Andrew gifted me a gift that's worth like $800, yeah, you know?
Okay.
That's adding value.
All right. Very cool. Very cool. And third and final question is, if you were to live abroad anywhere for 1 year, where would you live and why?
I would live in Italy. I'm a big fan of Italy. I got engaged there in Verona to my beautiful wife. And I just am a huge fan of the culture and just love the laid back atmosphere.
Very cool. Very cool. Andrew, what's the best way for listeners to get a hold of you and find your content?
Yeah, that would be on my website, keelteam.com. That's just K-E-E-L, team, as in basketball team.com. I also have my own podcast. It's called the Passive Mobile Home Park Investing Podcast. You can find a ton of content, on iTunes or wherever you find your podcasts.
For sure, for sure. Well, Andrew, like I said, thank you very much for being a guest. I know the listeners will take a lot of valuable information from you, and we'll catch you on the next go-round, my friend. Thank you guys for listening to today's episode. I hope you guys got some tremendous value there from it. But if you guys are looking to take your real estate career to the next level and looking to partner with us on your next real estate deal, please head on over to www.matthewbaltzell.com and sign up for the newsletter, and you'll get our latest deal flows and our up-to-date real estate investing information, tidbits, and tips there for you. All right, guys. Catch you on the next go around. Peace. Are you a busy real estate professional who is looking to build their authority online as a featured podcast guest but lacks the time to do so? Then head on over to elitepodcastbookings.com today to schedule a free consultation with the number one real estate podcast booking service, and you'll receive a limited time offer of 25% off.